I guess we'll go to Matthew chapter 28 to start with. Hallelujah. Matthew 28. If you think of it, pray for Mary Bell and I. We have to go back to California the end of the week to be part of the memorial service for Dr. Dufresne. And Lord, just pray for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, Heavenly Father, I ask you to have the Spirit of the living God rise up big within me this morning. To teach the uncompromised Word of God to a kind, loving people that love you. Lord, today we lift up our friends in California as they'll have the first service without Dr. Dufresne. Give them grace, Lord. And let the power of God be imminent there. Now today here, I ask for revelation knowledge of the Word of God.
Amen.
Rise up big within me and speak through my lips, Holy Spirit, and do exactly what you want done. Lord, I'm not here to perform. I'm not here to just try to bless people. Oh, that's always my goal. I'm here in obedience to you. To teach your word. And I declare over these people that they are receivers and doers of the word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, it says this, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Isn't that amazing? These are the disciples. These are the ones that have seen signs and wonders and miracles, because the Bible says everything that Jesus did was written down. The world could not contain the books. And his ministry was only 3.5 years. So they saw miracle after miracle that aren't even recorded in the book. Signs and wonders. And when they gathered together, some doubted. Let's read on. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" Now let me ask you a question. If you had all authority, would you be talking to some of these guys who are doubters? I wouldn't. As soon as he discerned that they were doubters, I would think he would have just separated them out and just found the believers. But watch what he does. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always," always.
Amen.
Is he with you today? Well, I don't know if he is. He's with you.
Amen.
Even if you're a doubter, he's with you.
Amen.
Even if you're in unbelief, he's with you.
Amen.
Here's the thing. He will not give up on you.
Amen.
You may give up on him, You may give up on church. You may give up on Wayne and Diane. You may give up on me. But I'll tell you, Jesus will never give up on you. He will chase you. He will come by the Spirit of God and woo you because he loves you. He doesn't love you because you tithe. He doesn't love you because you come to church. He doesn't love you because you're in the ministry of helps. He loves you because you are a son of the Almighty God. And Jesus, come on. Well, let me rephrase that. And God, his nature is love. He can't do anything but love. He can't hate. He can't be mad. Come on. He's a God of love and mercy and grace, and he'll chase you to the lowest valley and to the highest mountain to get you where you belong. Hallelujah. Sure, there were doubters. Sure, there were unbelievers, but that didn't stop them. He gives them an assignment. He says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, in 2 weeks, I'll be in Russia. The church there, from what they tell me, has about 3,000 people. They don't all come at once because they can't get in the building. But in the series of meetings we have, we minister to about 3,000 people. Okay? Those people are so hungry that they sit on the edge of their chair while you're preaching. They're so turned on to praise and worship, they run and dance and shout. See, I went to Russia the first time thinking, dark, gray, dead, traditional. Man, it blew me away. The first service, here comes all these people running by me. And I'm thinking, good grief, this is great. And then when I got up to preach, man, they don't want you to stop. Come on.
Amen.
God is moving.
Amen.
God is working.
Amen.
In Vietnam, I just found out that there's real work of God going on.
Amen.
All over the world, there's things happening. See, too often, all we can see is here. But I'm telling you, America is about to get revived.
Amen.
America is about to shake the stuff off of us and say, bless God, we got to get back to the kingdom life.
Yes. Yes.
We've been living in the pig pen.
Yes.
The prodigal woke up and he says, what in the world am I doing here? My father's servants live better than this. Come on.
Amen.
God has a plan for your life. God has not let go of you. God is, well, some things in my life haven't gone right. Some things in my life haven't gone right.
Amen.
But I'm not discouraged and I'm not despairing. Why? Because I read the book and I found out that Jesus Christ still loves me. And as long as Jesus loves me, I can go through anything. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Come on, hallelujah, praise God. There goes a runner. Here comes some more, let's go. Hallelujah. Amen. There's nothing conservative about Jesus. Jesus is always on the cutting edge. Jesus is always out there. Come on. It's time that we're out there. It's time that we get over into faith like I've been teaching for two nights. Why? Because God wants to do some stuff. One of the things he wants to do is pay off your bills. But you got to quit charging to get them paid off.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am, red letters, I am with you always. Well, I feel so lonely. Mary Bell hasn't patted me. Come on. How can you feel lonely when the King of the all kings and the Lord of all lords says, I am with you always. Going through hell, I'm with you. I'm convinced my two friends in that airplane, Brother Dufresne and his pilot, were gone before it ever hit the ground.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, amen.
Man, I don't believe that. Well, good for you. But that's what I believe. Want to know why? Because he loves them too much.
Amen.
I believe somehow the Spirit of God took their spirits and they were gone. The flesh might have crashed, but they weren't there. They were wrapped in the arms of Jesus. Mary Bell said something yesterday that just really rocked my case. She said, the Spirit of God's never in a plane wreck. You think about that a minute. Ain't no way the Spirit of God went down. Hallelujah. I thought that was good revelation.
Amen.
See, that's the love that God has for us.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 5, are you ready? Now, we've had two runners. I'm ready now for 15 ameners. So I'm extending my faith. Okay? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in the anointed one, or Christ, Jesus.
Amen.
What mind's in you can be the same mind that's in Jesus Christ. Now, if we're seated in heavenly places, like I showed you the other night, we're inches from the Father,
yes,
and inches from the Son.
Yes.
And everything is under your feet.
Yes.
How many things?
Everything.
Everything is under your feet. Stomp your foot down. Say, it's under there. All the junk, all the mess, all the confusion, all the hurt, all the things, it's under my feet. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ takes no offense. Takes no offense for anything done to it. No offense. Let's read on. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Why did he have to make himself? Because he has the greatest reputation of anybody in the universe.
Amen.
But he made himself to have no, come on. Why? So that we could relate to him. We got a high priest that can be touched with every infirmity that you're going through.
Amen.
And yet in all those things, he's not a sinner. Sure wish I was helping somebody. Who been in the form of God did not consider it equal to be a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. In the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. Now watch this. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross.
Amen.
Now who ever wants to be crucified? It's horrible. As bad as you've seen pictures, it's 10 times worse than that. The Bible says he didn't even look like a man anymore. He had been scourged, beaten, hair plucked out.
Yes, yes.
Jesus. And on a cross. He says, Father, forgive them. We might have cried out, Father, send lightning, send hailstorms. But he says, forgive them. What kind of a man is this man? But if we had his mind, if we knew our minds with his word, you'll have his mind, his thoughts, and his abilities. What are you saying? We can be Christ-like.
Amen.
No, you're not getting it. We can be Christ-like.
Amen.
Not just Christian, Christ-like. Non-offense. Come on.
Amen.
Verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him. When did God exalt him? When he humbled himself. Could that be the key?
Amen.
Oh, you mean we've got to humble ourselves before something's going to happen? Could it be we got to get rid of our pride? Because the mind of Christ is not full of pride.
Amen.
The mind of Christ is full of love.
Amen.
And not offensed.
Amen. Amen.
You know, human love is like this. If you do what I like, come on.
Yes.
You do the things that I like and all that, then I love you.
Yeah, right.
It's all on performance. The love of God is, I love you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
I'm not asking for anything. If you didn't pay your tithes today, I'm still going to love you.
Amen.
I'm not happy about it, because I want to see you blessed.
That's right.
Amen.
But I'm going to love you. We got a minister gone through a divorce, and now people are leaving his church left and right. Quite frankly, in a natural, I kind of like to wash my hands of it. He's made some dumb mistakes. Did some things I told him specifically not to do. He did them anyway.
Amen.
And now he's reaping the whirlwind. So what I thought would be nice is I just tell him, since you're doing your own thing, you don't need me. But basically, I did tell him. I said, if you're not going to listen, there ain't nothing I can do to help you.
That's
right. So he repented. Tears. I believe he did.
Yes, yes.
But long before that, I made up my mind, and Mary Bell made up her mind, that we weren't going to forsake them.
Yes.
We were going to hang in there for the long term.
Yes. Amen.
Because he's a good man.
Yes.
And he's made some mistakes, and you that haven't made any mistakes, you liar.
Amen.
We cast that devil out of you before the service is over. Come on, everybody's made mistakes. Everybody's done dumb things. But the church has no forgiveness. In general. We hold them to the fire. You see, what we did in years gone by is taught half law and half grace.
That's right. That's right.
So nobody ever knows if they're forgiven or not. But we got to teach Pauline revelation, because Pauline revelation is God loves you. Pauline revelation is you have power. Pauline revelation says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Pauline revelation says you can do great things. You can do the very same things, even greater things than Jesus did.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Wow. Glory to God. Verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him, and given him a name which is above every name. Now, we've read that scripture forever, and we all say amen, and we all think that's wonderful. We just don't ever think that name has the power it really has. There's a name.
Yes.
Come on. Yep. There's a name, Mark. Listen, there's a name, Jesus, that's greater than any other name on the globe. Smith Wigglesworth was preaching on the name of Jesus, and a lawyer stood up and he said, "Can I ask you a question, sir?" And for some reason, Smith allowed it. He said, "I'm a lawyer. Are you telling me that we have the legal right to use that name in our lives for our situations?" It's called the power of attorney.
Yep. Yes.
Our administrator for the ministry can sign my name to a contract. Why? Because he has power of attorney. God came to his people and has given you a name.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And you have the power of attorney to say, "I'm signing not Bob Lemon, because that has no power, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that has all power." Watch, wait, in heaven and on earth and under the earth.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
See, you can go out of here today and say, "I'm the richest person in the world." Want to know why? Because I've got a name.
That's right.
Not my name. His name. And at his name, angels stand at attention. At his name, demons tremble. If we say it in faith and believe that those things we say shall come to pass. I mean, you can say Jesus all day long, nothing's going to happen. But brother, sister, when we get built up on our inner man, and we begin to speak these things out, your word has power.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And something has to change. Why? Because that word is above the something that has to change.
That's right. That's right.
I don't care what it is. Glory to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I wish you were shouting more." Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, at that name, the name of Jesus, every knee, wait a minute, should is not will. Should means it's available. Hallelujah. That every name, or at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus, the Anointed One, is Lord. Now watch. To the glory of God the Father. Oh, you're getting it now. You see, when we operate in that name, and things begin to happen in that name, then all the glory doesn't come to me. All the glory goes to the Father who gave us the name in the first place. And when the body of Christ generally begins to give God the glory, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because the more God gets the glory, the more manifestation of the glory there is.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to get phone calls for the end of the year from Wayne Elston. He's going to say to me, "Man, Doc, you should have been in service Sunday. Boy, it was something else." He's been telling me stuff like that lately, that things have really changed. Picking up. Picking up momentum. Boy, it's exciting to me. But you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you get in faith with that name. Come on. Because, see, I've known Wayne Elston and his wife for a long time, and I can go all over the country and say, "I believe in Wayne Elston." And I do. But that name won't change a thing. But that name of Jesus, brother, sister, that'll change things. That'll open doors. That'll close doors. That'll make demons tremble. That'll make angels say, "What do you want me to do, sir?" Wow. Go to Mark 16 for a minute. Well, stop at Ephesians 3. We'll do that. Can I take this coat off? Is that legal? Now we're going to give Mark the test. No.
Where do you want me to go for?
No.
Is here okay?
Did a good job. Ephesians 3. Look at verse 14. "For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he should grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." Only the amen lady understood that. Can I read it again?
Yes.
Now watch this. "That he should grant you," who's a you?
Me.
Say, he's talking to me.
Talking to me.
"He should grant you, according to the riches of his glory." Can anybody tell me how rich that is? It's beyond comprehension. It's beyond anything we can think about. The riches of his glory. Not the riches of this church. Not the riches of this pastor. No apostle. His glory. "To be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man." Come up here, Mark. God, now he's representing the body. God wants to strengthen with might. What's might?
Power.
Power. I'm 80 years old. You know what I need quite often? Power.
Amen.
Because my body says, we're tired today.
Yep.
Remember, the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is...
No.
Sure, so that inward man rises up.
Yes.
Now, here's the body of Christ. Now, let's go through this, because this is rich.
Amen.
That he wants to grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. Come on. Okay. Don't laugh. Because you're looking now. See, you're looking at the outward man.
Right.
If you could see the inward man, he's Superman. No, I'm serious.
Amen. Amen.
The body of Christ are supermen and women. Not in their own strength, but in from his glory. Now wait a minute. Someday we're going to live in a city that's 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles long, you know, all the way around, 1,500 miles every direction. Amen. You can't even comprehend that.
No, no.
I can't. God is so awesome in power. He can snort out of one nostril and do more than we can do. Come on. That's what he wants to put into the body of Christ. Quit looking like a soldier. You still with me? Strengthen with might by the Spirit or through the Spirit on the inner man. So here comes the body of Christ. Washington, D.C. messes up. Here's the choice. Murmur, complain, gripe. Or allow the power that's on the inside rise up and begin to change
Hallelujah.
Something.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Why? Because you're changing it by supernatural, not natural. Family situations.
Come on.
How are we going to get them changed? Supernaturally. Why? Because in the natural, you all want to fuss.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, I'm the dad. You do what I say. And the kids say, well, I don't want to. But we know some people out in California got the best kids I've ever seen in my life. And they don't reason with them.
No.
They just love them.
That's right.
And sometimes love is strong. But they don't say, little darling, now no, this is why daddy's going to do this. They just do it. Come on. See, this body needs to be strengthened inside. Thank you. Did you do good?
You did.
Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus.
Now, stay with me here. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through
faith,
that you being rooted and grounded in
love.
Now, wait a minute. If you're rooted and grounded in love, even the hard things you've been through, you can be strong, or you still miss the people and all that, but you can be strong in the power.
Amen.
See, that power will take you through anything. We know what it is like to bury a daughter. It's not right. Parents ought to go first. After a few long time. It's not easy. But His grace and His power is sufficient on the inner man.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
That you win the victory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Not sustain.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's not what I'm teaching. That you actually win the whole situation.
Amen.
But it takes time. Oh, man. It takes time. Why? Because there's other people involved, and God has to manipulate. My spiritual daddy used to call it divine manipulation. Until everything got in order, then it all comes to pass.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm just preaching so much better, and I'm getting amens. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the width and all that stuff. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ. Now watch this, which passes. What does it pass?
Knowledge.
It's so great that it passes your thinker. Why didn't God kill me? Because He loves you. We're not under the law. We're not having stoning parties. Every week we take one of the saints out and stone them in the yard, just to keep everybody in line. That's not the way the kingdom works. The kingdom operates by love. Is this all right, Wayne? Now, verse 20. Well, let's do 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled. Oh, Lord Jesus, how can that be? With all the fullness of God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Who's on the inside of me? The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
What is He? The third person of the Trinity. He's as much God as the Father. He's as much God as the Son. And He chooses to dwell in you. I'm preaching better than what's going on here. Now I got Wendy going, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I got her husband grinning. We're working on the rest of you. Who lives in you? The third person of the Trinity. Who was, when this universe was established, was there. You don't think He can solve your problem? Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. You mean God knows what I think? Oh, yeah. Because some of you won't say some of the things because you don't think God will ever do it. But you think about it. According to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Would you like me to sing the sevenfold amen? I can do it. Okay. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly you know, if God by the Spirit would have dispersed, now unto him who's able to do abundantly above, we all would have got happy over that. But he said, I'm going to do exceedingly, abundantly. That's not getting by. Come on, that is not getting by. That's winning every victory. That's winning everything that happens, praise God. Wow. Now go with me to Acts chapter 3. Oh, we got a lot of time. Acts chapter 3. My plane doesn't leave till 7 o'clock. So. This will be a long one. Now, Acts chapter 3. I've done this story here many times, but we're going at it from a different direction. Verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lamed from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for an alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. When is the body of Christ going to say, look at me? I am your answer.
Amen.
You don't have to get all spiritual and say, God sent me here. You just say, I'm your answer. Why? Because of who's in here.
Amen.
Well, what if I lay hands on and they don't get healed? Well, you did exactly what you were supposed to do. I figured that out a long time ago. It's not my job to heal them. It's my job to lay the hands on them. If they don't get healed, there's some problem somewhere else. But I try to make it not me. Come on. So they come, you know, this guy's been there for a long time. He goes every day. Jesus had to walk by him many times because Jesus would go to the temple. Now watch this. Why didn't Jesus heal him? Times and seasons. There's a time and a season for everything. If you're ahead of God, it's you doing it. Dr. Buddy Harrison taught us years ago, he said, you're better off to be a little late than too early. So sometimes what we're trying to do, God hasn't given us the authority to do it yet. And so we're in our flesh instead of in the spirit.
Right. Amen.
And I'll tell you what, when you're in the flesh, it's going to get messed up. But this was his day. And some of you sitting in this room, I'm telling you right now, in your families, this is the day. Or next week's the day.
Amen.
Or next month's going to be the day.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Fixing his eyes on him, Peter, or John, with Peter, let me say it right, with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting. Come on. If we can just get some folks to expect something. If you would come and you're ill, if you would come to the house expecting, not just drag in. But say, I can't wait to get to church. I'm going to have Wayne or Diane lay hands, or I'm going to have one of the brothers or sisters lay hands on me, and I'm going to get healed. Why? Because you're expecting, and suddenly you got your faith out there and you're believing that you will receive. But if you don't believe you receive, you'll get exactly what you're believing for. Nothing.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And you can blame them all you want to, but it's not their problem. Their job is to lay hands on you. Your job is to receive it. But you got to come expecting. He expected to receive something, but he didn't know what. So he's double-minded because he's thinking, well, are they going to give me an alm or are they going to do something else?
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
I'm going to show you the love of God. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have. Now, what did he have? Pardon me? The name, power,
the anointing,
faith,
God.
The Holy Ghost.
Yes. Amen.
He said, silver and gold I don't have, but buddy, I got something on the inside that's trying to get on the outside.
Amen. Amen.
And when I lay hands on it, on you, power. So that my heavenly Father can get the glory.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Not so I can start a healing ministry.
Right. Right. Amen.
Not that I can go out and print cards now. I'm a prophet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus.
Boy, he had something. And he took him by the right hand. Oh, I'm sorry. Silver gold have I not, but what I do have I give to you in the name, y'all hit it, of Jesus Christ, the anointed there, of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, and then something happened to him. He went into the temple with them, walking. Get this. First part of verse 8, he leaped up and stood and walked. Second part of verse 8, once he got in the temple, the Holy Ghost hit him. Come on, y'all. Once he got into the temple, man, hey! What a better place, because the temple was deader than dead, religious as religious could be, and here comes the lame man that everybody knew who he was, come in there and say, hey, glory to God! And the Pharisees said, let's see now, is it legal for him to be healed? And the religious people say, well, I don't know about that. Must be a demon. It's like the guy got healed. And they asked, well, now, was it his father that sinned or his mother? He said, I don't know about that, but one thing I know. Once I was blind, but now I see. I don't care whose fault it was, don't matter what. See, none of those things are issues, but that's church. I'm not talking about church here. I'm talking about church in general. We've always got to have some stupid reason. Where's our faith?
That's right. Amen.
Isn't that good? I think it's good. Do you think it's good, Sister Marybelle? Praise God. Signs and wonders and miracles. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. We're going to get to where people are going to stagger out of these meetings.
Yes. 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 Amen.
Amazed.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
If you get your faith on the line, if I could get 10 of you to touch and agree on any such thing, I'm telling you, you're going to have some amazing things happen. Why? Not because of us, because of Him. Can I give you a couple more? Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2. I'll be finishing up here in a minute. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2. Ready? Verse 1. And you, who?
You.
Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, wait a minute. What are you supposed to be? Alive in Him. What were you before Jesus? Dead with what? Trespasses and sin. Still with me?
Amen.
All right. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Okay? Now go to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, what is he?
Rich.
In what?
Mercy.
Now, if Bill, if you're rich in mercy, what kind of an attitude will you have towards other people?
I would think you'd be a giver.
Forgiving? Not holding anything against them? Why? Because you're rich in mercy. Has anybody in this room received any mercy?
Thank God.
Huh? But how would you like to be rich in mercy? It's better than $1 million. Stand up right here, you. Raise your hands and say, I want to be rich in mercy.
I want to be rich in mercy.
Get it, Holy Ghost. Well, she was really after it. That's where you got to be. You got to be after it. You can't sit passively by and ask God to be rich in mercy. You got to say, bless God, I'm getting mine today. I don't care if Doc lays hands on me or not. I'm getting mine. Because God said I can have it. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loves us. Here we are again. Back to love. Why does God give us rich in mercy? Because he loves us.
Amen.
Or Roberts. Back a few years ago, of course, Oral's in heaven now. But you used to have a TV program just made the Christians madder than... Then some guy from the racetrack in Florida brought him up $100,000, and he took it and made all the rest of the Christians mad.
Yeah, right.
I always thought, boy, that guy come by my house. They can get mad they want to.
That's right.
Because I can take that money and sanctify
Amen.
It.
Amen.
So anyway, Oral began to teach something. I think it's the greatest revelation, one of the great revelations that he had. God is a good God.
Amen.
And all us religious people, because I was very much so, said that can't be right. God can't be a good guy because he's always mad at me.
Amen.
Because I can never obtain to the level of him.
Amen.
Because that's what I was taught.
Yeah.
25 years.
Yeah.
You're worthless. You're no good.
Yeah.
You'll make heaven by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah.
But if you mess up too bad, we'll kill your kids and burn your house down.
Amen.
Or God will. You know, I could not find, after I got a little knowledge, I could never find where God had any matches or a torch for burning down houses. Now, he has torches around the throne, but they're to bring glory to him.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
We used to tell the people on Sunday morning, if you don't come to Sunday night service, you get out there in that lake, your boat will sink. Probably kill one of your kids. We had a big crowd on Sunday night. They weren't happy, but they'd come. And then they'd come to the altar and bawl and squall. We'd bawl and squall with them. Come on. Then we'd sing on Jordan's stormy bank, casting a wishful eye. Oh, who will come and go with me before I die? I added the last. Where was I before I got doing that? Okay, gotcha. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead, are you kidding me? Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together. Now watch this. And made us sit down at the right hand of God. You didn't have any choice. He made you sit down at the right hand of God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Boy, how tremendous.
Thank you, Jesus.
Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in the anointing, or the anointed one, Jesus. Verse 8. Do 7. That in the ages to come he might show his excellent riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Verse 8. For by grace you have been
saved.
Power. Want to know what they are? Grace. Faith. God, grace, man, faith. Put them together. You put that together, you talk about a power team. The grace of God.
Amen.
And my faith. Which is the God kind of faith.
Amen. Yes, thank you, Lord.
No wonder the mountains have to move.
That's right. That's right.
Because they can't tell if it's me or him.
Amen.
Because we sound like him.
Yes.
And we look like him. And we're seated by him.
Right. Yes.
Amen.
Yes. 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 Amen. 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 Amen.
that is not of yourself, but is a gift of God. When I was a kid, we never got nothing for Christmas. My family was very poor, Depression days. We lived in Detroit, little old toothpick of a house, potbelly stove in the front room, no other heat anywhere. You get up in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom, and there'd be ice on the inside of the windows. Yes. And we, all us kids would go dressed down by the potbelly stove. And you get this side warm, then you get this side warm.
That's right.
Amen. And the problem, or looking back, one of the things I see was we didn't know we was poor. Because nobody ever told us we were.
That's right. Amen.
I just thought that's the way life was.
Yeah.
And when we get a penny to go get a piece of candy, you probably get five.
Yeah,
and we go and get a piece of candy, and we think, wow, isn't that great? Usually they give us a penny when my mother and dad were fighting, get us out of the house. So we go across to the candy store and get a piece of candy and just think, we're as rich as anybody. But then we found out later that we were poor. Now watch. And we took on the mindset of poor people. And begin to say, we can't.
That's right. Amen.
That's true.
Amen.
And we teach our kids constantly that you can't.
Yep.
That's right.
Because we don't have the money. See, that's the way I raised my kids. My kids was raised under Dr. Spock. And they've been through hell because of it. I'm not blaming Dr. Spock, I'm blaming me. I didn't know any better. I raised my kids like I was raised. Poor. Suffering. No church. I was never in a church in my life except my cousin's funeral. And that was a Catholic church, and I didn't understand a word that was said. Come on. Am I helping anybody or just talking? Hallelujah. For, verse 10, we are his workmanship, created. You know, I hate to read this verse because I'm not getting a response. Let me try to get it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's a great helps ministry. Verse. Why were you created? For good works. Why? Because I'm in Christ and God's good. I got one more scripture. John chapter 16. This won't take a minute. Who said that? Thank you, ma'am. May the Lord bless you, keep you. May his face shine upon you. And may you live long on the earth, at least till the rapture. Well, I'll fly away to glory. I'll fly away. John chapter 16. Look at verse 26. John 16, 26. In that day, you will ask in my name, and do not say that you, to, and let me do it again. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I've come forth from God. Hello? Now, what's the sequence? The Father loves us because we loved the Son. Wow. I said, wow. Glory to God. Now look at 33 so we can save some time. These things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, tribulations. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The world, listen, the world is not our problem. Our problem's a problem of faith and believing that God's already overcome the world. See, we're free from that system, and the only way you get back in that system is walk back in it yourself. God has another system called a kingdom. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.